From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. With an increasing number of businesses and investors aiming to capitalize on Africa's untapped potential, what such company is Knife Capital, a venture capital firm first founded by Mark Shuttleworth as Here Be Dragon and then later recapitalized and rebranded as Knife Capital. On this episode of iAfrican Bites, partner and co-founder of Knife Capital, Kiet Fancel, joins us to discuss the maturation of the VC landscape in South Africa and understand what are the metrics that VCs use when selecting startups to invest in. Southern African Bites. Kiet Fancel, thank you so much for joining us on iAfrican.com. Now, on your LinkedIn, quite fascinating actually, it says you're fascinated by bubbles and champagne and a passion for water skiing. Break that down. What does that mean?
Well, you know, you can't just do boring venture capital stuff your whole life. You also have to celebrate and and spend some quality time on things that you are passionate about. Yes. So, yeah, champagne, it's actually not... It is the taste, but it's more the whole complexity in making champagne, you know, the method, champenoise and the bubbles and the compression and the turning and the disgorging and, the, you know, yes. No one ever has really a bad time drinking champagne because it's kind of associated with celebration. Yes, and I think I just like the complexity in that and really took that on board into our company culture, et cetera. And then, yeah, water skiing. I grew up in a place just south of Johannesburg called Vereniging, which is on the Vaal River. Uh-huh. And in those days, the Vaal River was still clean, and you could ski on it. So I basically grew up water skiing, and yeah, I think just it's for me, it's nice. Everyone is in the boat; they focused on the activity, and it's a nice fun thing to do. So I grew up with boats and water skiing, and just and got quite good at it over the years. And now my kids have overtaken me as the champions, but I love it.
Hey, walking in daddy's footsteps. Exactly. It's beautiful. I mean, you shed a bit on, you know, you come from Vereniging, the Vaal. Where did you study, and what were you doing before 2010, the birth of Capital, Knife Capital?
So yeah, after school, I decided to get quite far away from there, just to spread my wings a little bit, and studied in Stellenbosch University down in the Cape. Never been there before in my life, so it was quite actually daunting when I arrived. But you know, obviously. Quite quickly got into the swing of things, studied accounting, not really because I loved accounting. I think it was more just because it was one of the more difficult business degrees to get into. And, you know, I guess ego took over, and I thought, well, I'm not going to do easy stuff in life, so let's go for it. Qualified as an accountant, but then also went on to study MBA. In later life, I got quite interested in intellectual property law, just in terms of, you know, or some examples of some of our exits and this and that, and some issues we came across. So I studied IP law. So, but I often say, half jokingly and half serious, that I probably should have studied to be a good venture capitalist rather. I should have studied psychology and drama, you know, just for how things work. But but there I am, an emancipated accountant with some law and MBA thrown into it. But but yeah, we also built our own business in the process, you know.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Walk us through the investment philosophy of Knife Capital.
Well, yeah, Knife, we started really to continue our VC investments. You know, before Knife, I worked in a private equity fund investing in sub-Saharan Africa out of Johannesburg, came down to Cape Town to work at Investec Bank with owner-managed businesses, so basically with entrepreneurs. And then got an opportunity to join Mark Shuttleworth's Here Be Dragons fund. And Mark was at that stage and still one of our more successful tech entrepreneurs, if you don't count Elon Musk. And he sold his business for quite a lot, and then invested behind early stage entrepreneurs. Uh-huh. I joined them. And basically, from there, met my co-founder, Eben van Eerden, and we started Knife in 2010, taking over the management of HBD. So we approached Mark, and the philosophy has always been, just invest behind innovation-driven businesses mm-hmm. with some traction. We are better at scaling businesses that already have a product market fit than we are at real idea phase, kind of MVP type stuff. Uh-huh. And the philosophy is finding good investments, investees, investors to invest behind you, making good investments through diligence, valuations, fair term sheets, etc., and then growing the business towards towards an exit. So that's the realization strategy. So the philosophy has always been, over the last 15 years since we started at HBD, has been that.
Mm. Keith, look at the early days. Where did this passion, when you met, Mark, where did this passion or belief in like technology and innovation and startups, specifically in the tech sector, where did that confidence come from?
To be honest, I don't think it was this epiphany of like, I want to add value to entrepreneurs. I just like the guts to glory stories of entrepreneurs. I think that as a South African that really wanted to stay in the country and make a difference, in retrospect, I really believe that entrepreneurs are the future on any metric. There's not enough jobs being created. Governments are 100%. Not spending enough money.
100%.
Corporates are downsizing. So the only way forward for an economy is entrepreneurs. And I really like that as a concept. And then also I had to find a career where I apply this this emancipated accounting skills of mine, and I thought, well, venture capital is a good place as any, and it is an inspiring, and we get blown away on a weekly basis with the stories and the positive energy. So I wish everyone who's negative about South Africa, everyone who's negative about Africa, I wish they could spend a sort of month in our shoes and see the amazing entrepreneurs that we're getting in touch with, because that is just the positive stories, and it's based on a long, exciting future. It's not something that's a quick trade,
In fact, Keith, I'd add on to what you're saying, in the sense that we need to celebrate entrepreneurs more. I think we don't celebrate entrepreneurship enough. We don't put entrepreneurs on a pedestal and inspire sort of society in a different way, because like you said, the solutions to our problems are going to come from entrepreneurs. So definitely we share that sentiment with you. Okay, now let's look under the hood. In the 13 years you guys have been around, this is your third fund. How much money have you raised in total?
Yeah, it's a bit of a moving target, because it is our third fund. So first fund was about $10 million, second fund about $20 million, and the third fund is $50 million, 50. So I suppose, as the ecosystems have evolved as well, we're evolving our investment sort of thesis slightly towards ticket sizes, etc. But through the years, also specifically in the early years, it's very difficult raising a fund. So we did also raise quite a lot of funding in SPVs with angel investors. We invested ourselves. Then we also have one or two smaller seed funds within, like for instance, our Grindstone Accelerator under Knife, in partnership with Thinkroom and Catherine and a few others. So officially, but that story gets complicated. So therefore we just say, okay, fund one, fund two, fund three, and other stuff of helping entrepreneurs through the process.
Beautiful. How many companies have you invested in total thus far?
Sure. I would say
more than you can count.
I'm looking at our wall there, see if I can do a quick calculation. Look, I mean, it depends. So if it's really 10 million, so let's say $1 million and above, probably around 25-30, but mm-hmm. but if you add sort of seed funding and earlier stage businesses with smaller ticket sizes, then I suppose 50 plus type thing,
Okay. And then how many exits to this day?
So, successful exits, probably about 12 to 15, really good ones. And then the others, you know, in VC, if you don't hit your target returns of a couple of times money and you know, return targets of 30% IRR plus, then, you know, we see it as a bit of a disappointing exit. But look, an exit could also be a liquidity event, a business not working, et cetera. So we've had all of the above. But on the whole, you know, our funds have performed very well. You know, we're very proud of being one of the first VC funds down this part of the world to really return our fund one totally, you know, exit all the businesses, create a good return to our investors, and wrap that one up totally. And then fund two and fund three are still in process of exits. But, you know, we really have learned a lot in that process. You know, we were also a little bit lucky. I mean, luck and timing does play a role. So it's not 100%. All about us designing it. But through the years, we've had, you know, exits to the likes of, you know, local businesses to the likes of Visa, to General Electric, to Uber Eats, to Garmin, you know, to SoftBank. So once you sort of go through that a few times, you learn a few new tricks about how you should invest and what tools you need at the sell side, due diligence, data room, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that is becoming a core value proposition, and we really focus on that because ultimately, without exits, you know, this ecosystem or any VC fund is also just, you know, kind of never really returning funding to the investor base. And then this asset class won't build any credibility.
Keith, in your experience, what would you say is one of the most difficult thing about the South African or rather African VC space?
Well, both of those have, I mean, obviously Africa is a big continent, so you can't generalize, but South Africa's VC space is quite nascent still. And it is difficult because we struggle with local institutional investors backing the space. You know, only recently has the Mine Workers Investment Company, banks like Standard Bank, the SASME Fund, and a few came on board. And then we've got a double whammy because there's no real local institutions backing the space. And then on the other hand, the development funding institutions really see South Africa almost as too developed, you know, so as an economy. So it's much better for them to invest in, for good reason, in East Africa or West Africa or some of those nations. So we really struggle to get capital under management. Thank goodness that the saving grace through the years has been that we built this industry on the shoulders of angel investors. Many, you know, it's a very prolific angel investor and super angel investor economy. When it comes to sort of broader Africa, I think the difficult thing is still really exits. Yeah, so the challenge is really liquidity, you know. So what happens is, you know, the exit optionality in emerging or first world sort of markets where this is more of a asset class that has traction, is the IPO market is prolific. So you can build a business and generally, you, if it's big enough and big enough scale, you can take it to an IPO or an initial public offering and stuff. And in this area or this continent, most exits are trade sale to strategic. And what that basically mean is, you know, there's a bigger corporate that does an acquisition of an earlier stage business. And that's fine, that it happens. But the problem there is that the M&A team of a big corporate is not going to necessarily hugely overpay for a tech business to bring that technology into the thing, unless it's very strategic and very much needed, you know. So therefore, it's quite difficult to get these businesses. It's easy enough to get them to grow off a low base. But if the investors overpay on the way in, it's very difficult to make a return on the way out, just because it's that trade sale element. You know, you're dealing with very clever M&A team, and they negotiate hard. Trust me.
No, definitely, definitely, definitely. Now, let's look into your performing portfolio companies. What makes them special, and what makes specifically their founders special?
Look, I think they're all special because any entrepreneur that chooses that path or finds that path or is forced to go that path, I've got huge respect for. So I think there is something special about entrepreneurship. I mean, I don't think any more special than doctors or engineers or accountants, I suppose, because entrepreneurs are just, you know, other job creators, I suppose, or deliver a service or a product. But I think the ones that are really, really successful have that tenacity of not giving up, And also they you know, what gets measured gets done. So what we found, the common thread between the successful businesses is entrepreneurs who really understand the underlying unit economics and just focuses on how to build the business out of nothing, and then focus on sales, business development, unit economics, and real tangible growth, not just winning competitions and having a big PR thing. That sometimes helps if the underlying business is rock solid. And then, to be quite honest, as with most things in life, you do need a little bit of luck and timing. You know, if the big contract comes, if you run out of capital and there's a delay in a POC, or so you do need to meet the right people at the right time, but you need to put yourself in that position. Never give up. I always sort of say that one of Knife Capital's core differentiators is that we just sort of hung in there for 13 years now, and we probably should have given up a few times in the process. But here we are, and we got to a place where it's a really, really great business now, you know.
100%. Keita, I want you to answer this to potential startups. Why should a startup go to Knife Capital if it fits all conditions? And has gotten the term sheet from other VCs?
Well, you know, we can only do so many deals a year. You know, we don't profess to be the biggest business, and we're not a volumes-driven business. So, you know, we do encourage entrepreneurs to actually, not necessarily shop around, but make like a good partner universe of who would be a good fit as a good investor. There are some real quality VCs across the African continent and in South Africa. So we collaborate with them, we co-invest. So I don't think it's about us trying to create this moat and wrap our arms around all the entrepreneurs, because otherwise, you know, 99% of them will never get funded. However, you know, there's two things which we feel is a good reason for a fit. And that is if an entrepreneur truly is exit centric, you know, so our sort of focus is exit centric business building. Some entrepreneurs just want to build and they want some capital and they don't want any influence along the path or any, you know, and there are some entrepreneurs where that is the better investor. So from a Knife perspective, you know, we try and at least help influence the path towards growth or market access or exit, you know. So if you don't, if you have an exit mindset, you know, we can use our collective experience as a team, our negotiating experience with M&A teams on the way out, and basically the partner universe building, and the what kind of champagne you need to put on ice before when you sign the exit deal. So it is a little bit focused on that. And then, you know, sort of lastly, we have a bit of a value chain approach now, where we have a accelerator, a grindstone model, where earlier stage businesses can find their feet. Then we have Series A funds, where we can kind of do ticket sizes of sort of $1 to $2 million. And then we have Series B and on funds where we have minimum ticket sizes of $3 million. So I think from a perspective, we can follow on and grow with the entrepreneurs, and we can add value, you know, up and down that value stream, et cetera, et cetera. But main thing is exit. But yeah, I mean, we have had entrepreneurs that have had better terms in terms of valuation from another VC or two, but then just found a better fit. And for that matter, I would also encourage, where we are not a good fit for an entrepreneur, to not go with us. You know, a good investment and a good business and a good fit and a good culture fit. I mean, it's a long journey, huh? It's 5 to 7 years or so before you get to an exit, and you are going to come across hard times, and you are going to fight, and you are going to have fun. And basically you have to do this with like-minded people that at least understand 100%. Your journey. And so I think it just depends, but I think most of our portfolio companies have had a positive thing. I mean, and we can validate that because we've reinvested with a few entrepreneurs that we've exited with. We have 15 investors in our funds, which are previous entrepreneurs that we have helped exit their businesses and make them much more rich than we are. And now they become our investors. So when I meet entrepreneurs that we're going to invest in, we always sort of have realized that the power play is a bit different. And it's not this VC on this coming down from the mountain. It's basically us looking at our future bosses. And if we do our job right, those entrepreneurs will... I'll work for them within 5 to 7 years.
So what I'm getting is one, exit mindset, and a fit for the long haul, for the journey, for the long miles ahead.
Exactly.
Keith, I need to ask this, right? What's the biggest check that Knife Capital has written?
So we're about $5 million. And counting. So we can do check sizes to up to about $10 million technically, because that's sort of 20% of fund size. But you know, that becomes quite risky from a portfolio construction perspective. So we will probably at this stage of our life go up to about 7.5 just from a prudency factor. But yeah, we're about 5. And then but we also have, and I don't want to overcomplicate the story, but we also have within our broader team, we're backed by a family office in the UK. And within that, you know, some of our team members are also split their time around that and here. And yeah, there we've done significantly larger private equity deals, but that's not VC anymore, which are sort of indirectly. It just gives us a little bit more IP and tricks and access to the right kind of lawyers and you know, things are a bit leveled up when you do larger transactions. But yeah, we will try and stay within the $3 million, $5 million range. Mm. And for the really good companies, we'll double down and follow on into at the moment, you know, $6, $7, $8 million.
What's Knife's aspiration for the African continent? Are you planning to move aggressively more into, you know, within Africa?
Not aggressively. I think it's quite arrogant of us to think we can do better deals in Nigeria or Kenya or Senegal or Egypt or Tunisia than those, you know, very credible funds can do. So we are moving into the rest of Africa, but in a very much a co-investment angle. You know, I think
makes sense.
I'm, you know, personally, I mean, unless we feel, because of we've got a bit more of a hands-on approach, and there are different approaches of doing many deals, and you know, many will fail and some will succeed, and you hunt one or two unicorns. We are a little bit more, you know, slow and steady around that, and very respectful of ecosystems. You know, we would know in this South African or maybe sub-Saharan context more like which entrepreneurs to invest with, which investors to avoid. You know, we can connect people to any corporate on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange if they so warrant to be. So we can really open doors. But can we open the same doors in other countries in Africa? Do we know the legal system and the company law off by heart? No. So I think we will co-invest with credible investors. But our real reason or purpose from a Knife perspective is to make sure the VC asset class becomes credible. And it can only really be credible with success stories, with co-investment, collaboration, and so forth. So that's our aspiration for the rest of Africa. But we are, we currently, you know, in the next month or so, we will too, maybe if things drag on, announce a transaction out of Kenya and Rwanda. So yeah.
And iAfrican definitely will get the exclusive on that, right?
Depends if you give me some champagne.
Don't worry, I got you, Keith. I got you. Lastly, Keith, I need to ask this. How have the changes to Section 12J tax breaks affected Knife Capital and just generally the VC investment culture in the country?
Look, it's a huge pity, because Section 12J was a tax break initiative where investors, private investors, could invest in accredited VCs like a Knife Capital, a few others, and we could then use that capital more efficiently and more efficiently into startup investments. But you know, it was sort of abused a little bit legally and a bit and SARS. Our tax authorities eventually decided, no, this is not creating enough jobs and all that. And I mean, it's a long story. But how has it affected? Look, it brought a lot of investors out of the woodwork that got exposure to the asset class. You know, so actually, a lot of our 12J investors that came into Knife, and you know, they are actually investing and reinvesting some of their capital behind us, even without the tax break, because now they've got a bit of a feel for the asset class. So it's a bit demystified and that. So it did catalyze a new class of investors. But, you know, if you back this asset class for a tax break, then you should also stay far away from this asset class, you know. So if the value proposition doesn't make sense from a returns perspective and backing a fund manager that can deliver outsized returns, then this is not an asset class to back. It just was a sweetener, you know, just kind of de-risked it a little bit, you know, because think about it, you know, the average sort of high bracket tax rate in South Africa is about 45%. And we could say to an investor, you can get, if you invest R1 million, you can get like 45% back in a VC thing in the first year of your investment, technically cash flow wise is what that means. So we can exit half the portfolio in year one, which doesn't matter. And that does a lot for your returns. But it is a huge pity because obviously that money flow, you know, we constantly year on year had our reinvestment people that just reinvested. So it almost became rolling funds and easier to raise capital because the institutions are not backing. But luckily, the institutions are now starting to come into the funds. And I think it's a good, I mean, there's good and bad about 12J, you know, on the downside for us, the only real constraint is 12J, you have to invest in South African businesses. So obviously they use South African taxpayer money, essentially. And, you know, within a knowledge economy with businesses growing across border and registering in Delaware and Amsterdam and, you know, just to raise further capital and loop structures and stuff, you know, 12J structure does have its drawbacks, you know. So, you know, I mean, pros and cons, but hugely a pity that structure is not available for South Africans.
Keith, thank you so much for joining iAfrica. Thank you so much. Wishing Knife Capital. And really, this is a monumental interview in a sense that, you know, at iAfrica, we believe in the VC space so much. And we'd love for it to mature, grow to the heights of Europe, Americas, Australia's. And to really do what you said, spur on, you know, entrepreneurship. And I think on a much more societal level, just help solve our problems. And we know all the problems. There's too many problems. We need the solutions. And I think you guys are adding on to that. Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Tech Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show. Produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Madon Kotokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.